Okay, welcome to another episode of the On.net show. Today we're going to be talking with some folks at Steeltoe, and they work on microservices for .net using their Steeltoe infrastructure, and it relates to Cloud Foundry. And we're going to find out what that's all about. So today on the call, we have Zach Brown and Dave Tillman, and they work at Steeltoe. So how about you guys introduce yourselves and tell us what this technology is all about and how it relates to .NET.
Okay, sure. I'll jump in. My name is Zach Brown, and I do product strategy and marketing at Pivotal. To a clarification there, our company's name is Pivotal.
Right.
And my role there is specifically related to the .NET developer experience and for Cloud Foundry and Steeltoe in particular.
Okay.
And I'm Dave Tillman. I'm also with Pivotal, and I'm an engineer, and I'm the tech lead on the Steeltoe open source project.
Got it. Okay, so how about one of you guys give a pitch on what someone would want to use Steeltoe for as a .NET developer?
Sure, I'll give a quick high-level overview. Steeltoe, it's an open source project. It was started by Pivotal, although it's recently become part of the .NET Foundation, so that was an exciting development for us. The project is aimed at providing .NET developers tools for building cloud-native web applications. Specifically, what we wanted to open up is the ability to leverage Spring Cloud tooling. In a lot of ways, the Java community has been way ahead of .NET in terms of building microservices and infrastructure to make highly scalable, highly reliable, resilient web applications. So how can we pull some of those tools in and make them available for .NET developers too? So what we did was we pulled in projects like Netflix OSS, Netflix Eureka for service discovery, Netflix Hystrix for circuit breakers. Spring Cloud has a shared configuration solution called Spring Cloud Configuration Server. So these tools and built clients in .NET so that .NET developers can leverage this stuff. Then in addition, Pivotal makes or contributes to a big open source project called Cloud Foundry. So we also included in this package all the tools you need to build .NET applications that run really well on Cloud Foundry. And that includes things like connectors to backing data services, security providers, and health management tooling so that you can troubleshoot your microservices, even if they're running in production, without impacting them. So that's basically what Steeltoe is.
Makes sense. So you mentioned a bunch of components. A bunch of them were related to Netflix. And I'm somewhat familiar with these components as well. How did you select those? Because I'm led to believe that there are multiple choices, and Netflix just offers some of them. Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I think the initial decision came from wanting to build some compatibility with what was there in Spring. And to leverage those tools that were already being used by Java developers, because we're increasingly seeing this world where we've got polyglot microservices all living together, talking to each other, getting along. It's a new world where cats and dogs are happily playing together with Java and .NET microservices. Some could be running in Linux, some in Windows. I mean. Those new diverse environments are common now.
Makes sense. Can you tell me what the container affinity is to this project? Do you have to run it in containers? Do you have to not run it in containers?
That's a good question for Dave.
Yeah, no, there's really no container affinity at all. In fact, the libraries will work with will work on the .NET full framework as well as .NET Core, and in fact, there are. Able to work with both ASP.NET legacy as well as ASP.NET core, as well as just console applications. So we've done a really good job of trying to make the application types that you can use our frameworks with to cover all bases, basically, trying to make it easy for all .NET developers.
Makes sense.
And, of course, it has nothing to do with containers, of course.
Right. Before we get back to containers, you mentioned console apps. People probably have a good sense of what a web app deployment would look like. If they're running console apps, what kind of app would that be? Is it some long-running batch process app that, you know, say like an insurance company would run for some type of reason, or what kind of apps would they be?
Exactly. An app that basically is long running, that may need to get its configuration from a central configuration source, may need to do service discovery because it needs to access some microservices that are running somewhere. It may need to connect to back-end message queues, whatever it may be. You could easily structure that as a console app if you'd like, or you could structure it as a ASP.NET legacy or ASP.NET core app as well. So we don't try to force you into any particular application model.
I see. And then your customers just do all the weird and wonderful things that developers do.
Exactly.
Okay. So maybe let's get back to containers then. So you talked a little bit about Cloud Foundry. That's kind of what pushed me down the containers path. Does Cloud Foundry have an affinity to containers or not?
Sure. Maybe I can just give a one-liner on what Cloud Foundry is for anybody
Perfect.
Who's watching that's not aware. Cloud Foundry, it's a cloud platform. And when I say that, I mean that it brings the ability to do self-service, high developer velocity, all those benefits that you get when you're building an application on Azure or AWS in the cloud, but it allows you to do it pretty much anywhere. So you can run Cloud Foundry on top of Microsoft Azure or AWS or Google Cloud Platform. You could also run it in your own data center on top of OpenStack or VMware or Azure Stack. So it's very portable, and one of the big benefits is that you get that application portability. But really, it's this platform that will supports multiple sort of contracts, if you will. So you can deploy an application as source code, and the platform will look at it and say, all right, we'll pull in all your dependencies, we'll give you the runtime and the frameworks that you need, and then wrap that up in a container for you. So it's what we call a platform-provided container. And run your application containerized, then the platform is responsible for all the scaling and health management, et cetera, that you get out of a platform like that. But conversely, if you really have a container that you've already built yourself as a developer and you want to push that to the platform, that's also possible. The platform supports running containers that are pre-built. It's got a Kubernetes engine as well that you can leverage. And then lastly, there's even a portion of the platform that supports deploying functions directly. And so there's really, those are the three different levels, three different abstractions, if you will, that we're seeing out there.
I see. So I could kind of think of this as a combination of a CI/CD service plus a hosting service in one.
Sure, but as far as when you say a hosting service, I'm imagining that somebody somewhere has a warehouse full of servers, and Cloud Foundry is the layer that runs on top of those servers. So that's
sure. I totally agreed. I meant as long as those servers are there, it can provision my app to those servers. I don't have to be the one provisioning to the multiple servers and scaling myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the other, so those are the developer benefits. On the other side of it, it does wonders for operators and operator efficiency by managing the operating systems of the VMs that it's running on itself, all the patching, so that you can really have an environment where there's zero downtime for your application, even while you're rolling out patches to VMs in the middle of the day or something like that.
For sure. So one of the questions I sometimes get asked related to this space, and then maybe we should head more back to Steeltoe, is about the .NET
okay.
build pack.
Sure.
They kind of like say like, oh, you know, there's this .NET build pack thing. Kind of who maintains that? How does it track? say, .NET Framework or .NET Core versions, and how should I think about that as a customer? Because mostly people are used to getting a lot of their .NET-based software from Microsoft, and the .NET build pack is kind of something different than that. So if you could speak to that.
So I missed a part of the question.
I said, like, who owns it and who maintains it is really the two key points.
Got it. The build packs are all open source, and I believe that the .NET Core build pack, so just to clarify, there's something that we have called the Hosted Web Core build pack, which runs .NET applications on Windows, .NET Framework apps, and then there's a .NET Core build pack for running .NET Core applications specifically on Linux. That .NET Core build pack was originally written by some folks from IBM, I believe. It's maintained by a group of cross-company group of people. Some are from Pivotal, some are from IBM. I don't know if anyone from Microsoft is contributing to it, but I did hear news last year that Microsoft had joined the Cloud Foundry Foundation and that they were contributing or beginning to contribute. So that's an exciting development there. The HWC build pack, I believe it was built by Pivotal. It's maintained by Pivotal, but it's all, again, these are all open source projects. And there's a foundation called the Cloud Foundry Foundation that manages the governance of all of those projects. And so it is entirely possible for someone who wanted to contribute to it to make those contributions.
Okay, makes sense. So let's get back to Steel Toe. There's really, I think, two major questions that I want to cover in the rest of the time we have. One cool. is like, how do people adopt this? And then as a sub question with that, is there a payment aspect associated with it? And then the second set is more oriented around, you know, we've seen a lot of change in the, you know, microservices and container-based applications in the last year. And I'm wondering what Steel Toe is doing to kind of react to that and be one of the kind of foremost options in that space.
So okay. Dave, how about I take the first and you take the second? So in terms of how do you use Steel Toe, so certainly it's an open source project. Anybody can reference the NuGets in their project and pull them into their application. Who is going to get the most benefit out of Steel Toe maybe is a corollary question. I think the developers who will get the most benefit from this are ones who work at some company that has decided or standardized on Cloud Foundry. They're using Cloud Foundry internally and migrating existing applications or building new applications that target that platform. And so those developers will want to leverage Steel Toe because that will help them get the most value out of Cloud Foundry and make it reduce the friction of deploying .NET applications onto Cloud Foundry. So if someone is interested in getting started and just kind of playing with a Cloud Foundry for free, there is a publicly available multi-tenant instance running at run.pivotal.io. And anyone can sign up for, I think, a 2-month free trial. And the experience is you type cf push from a command line and it deploys your application to the cloud. So you can try out that experience, see how that build pack works for yourself. So that's probably the best place to try it. Your question about, and that goes for Steel Toe as well. So your question about whether there's a payment for Steel Toe. Steel Toe is free and open source. There's no specific license that anybody needs to buy to use it. If you are an enterprise Cloud Foundry customer of Pivotal's, then Pivotal provides enterprise customer support for Steel Toe in addition. If you are not, if you're just somebody who wants to try this out and you're running into some issues, we've got a Slack channel available, and Dave is very active in the Slack channel, as are other engineers on the team who can answer your question directly. And so that's definitely another great avenue to get some support.
Excellent. Okay, so maybe we should talk about what's going on in the industry that's really topical in, say, the last, you know, 6 to 12 months. And how Steel Toe is part of that.
Well, so Steel toe per se is not specifically tied to any particular container technology or containerization. So as a framework, it's really not doing anything special as it relates to containerization. But what I think Zach could even maybe shed some more light on this. One of the things that I know our Cloud Foundry team that handles all the Windows containerization work is doing is they're going to be supporting here very soon Windows containers in addition to regular Linux containers. So in the future here, and Zach, maybe you could elaborate on this a little bit, but I think in the very near future, we'll be supporting, you know, just very native, regular old Windows containers as opposed to Linux container images. Zach, maybe you could explain a little bit more about that.
Sure. That's if you want to deploy an application into a container but run on Windows, we're talking about Windows 2016 server, I think either 1709 or the upcoming 1803 releases will be supported.
Yeah. So that's probably the thing that will come here very soon is support for Windows containers natively on the Cloud Foundry platform. As it relates to Steel Toe, some of the new things. So one of the things that the platform enables is being able to add a lot of fun features and useful features for runtime analysis and debugging of applications because it's built into the containers. So some of the things that we'll be adding, and we're already have started to add, is management endpoints into .NET applications so that you can very easily, for example, get detailed information about the health of an application from within the application itself. The endpoints expose a very standard way in which you can query and get some JSON information back that describes the health of the application. We have, for example, dynamic logging, the ability to turn, we expose endpoints, management endpoints that allow you to adjust the logging levels on a per logger basis within an application dynamically. So you can gather debug logs and then turn back logging back down to, say, informational or warning or error levels. We're adding right now thread dumps so that you will be able to essentially send a management request into the application and get a thread dump of all the running threads in the .NET application. So you can see if you've got an app that's hanging or not responding, seems to be slow. Maybe you've got a bunch of threads that are all tied up, and you can actually get a thread dump directly out of the application. We're also exposing a mini dump functionality, so you can hit this endpoint, it'll generate a mini dump for you on the fly and download that mini dump back into the platform so that you can then analyze that mini dump offline, again trying to do some diagnosis. And then above and beyond that, areas that we're going to next is for example distributed tracing, so that you'll be able to if you've got a highly distributed application that made up of polyglot microservices, we've got a feature within Cloud Foundry, for example, that has the ability to capture trace information, and we'll be adding that functionality right into .NET applications. So both Java traces coming out of Java, Node, .NET will all flow seamlessly into this application that will then give you the ability to debug trace and see these traces coming along. And then, of course, application metrics. That's another area that we'll be adding as well, because the platform already supports the ability to collect metrics out of applications. .NET will be just one additional, a .NET application will be just one additional source of metric information for applications. So the platform is enabling these kinds of features to be added very easily into all different types of applications. And then it all seamlessly integrates and ties into the overall platform, so you can view and observe all this information, especially in a polyglot environment. So that's where we're driving, and that's where Steel Toe will excel over the next year.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense. I can certainly see the value of that. So one question about that is, we've done some work in this same kind of space. We have this term called correlation ID. That we use, and then obviously network calls have to participate in those, like HTTP client calls. Do you have something similar that you use to correlate all these calls across nodes?
Exactly, we have standardized on the Zipkin mechanisms for headers that being passed between microservices. And so we'll be adding that functionality into .NET applications here in the near future, as well as then we'll be that'll all tie into the metrics and the metrics information that are being captured as well.
I see. You talked a bit about health. So there's a, and maybe this is too low a level for the way that people use Cloud Foundry and Steeltoe, but like there's this Docker health check concept. Do you provide something to use with respect to Docker health check?
I believe they do on the Linux side, but that's going a little too deep for me on the Linux container side.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure we don't have that yet within the Windows container stuff, but that's
okay.
Probably something they're looking at.
Sure. Wasn't intended to be a trick question.
No, that's fine.
And then maybe this one other thing is, one of the things when we first started on the container journey on our team with .NET, we had this initial idea, and for some people this will seem naive and funny. We had this initial idea of, you know, containers is very, you know, forward-looking. It's probably the .NET Core customer base that'll be kind of like the 90% scenario for that. And then we started talking with customers, and we arrived at a more even split than that across .NET Core and .NET Framework. And so we found that a lot of people wanted to move from the VM hosting kind of server scenario to the container hosting scenario with .NET Framework and Windows containers. And so the demand for that was higher than we initially expected. Are you seeing something similar?
Yeah, I think.
I'll add my two cents and then Zach can jump in.
Sure.
The answer is yes. We initially, when we started Steeltoe, we were very focused on ASP.NET Core. And then as we got out into the market with it and people started using it, a lot of people wanted to use this functionality in legacy ASP.NET applications running on the full framework. And so in this latest 2.0 release, we did a bunch of refactoring to make sure that we have everything in place to support the legacy applications in the full framework in a much better way. So yes, we're seeing the same drive, meaning they're not ready to jump on ASP.NET Core and .NET Core 100%. There's quite a few people wanting to use the full framework yet and legacy apps on mm-hmm. on containers.
Yep.
Zach, you can add to that.
Well, so my thoughts are what we're seeing as a pattern is that to take that existing application or legacy application and to plop it into a container is often the shortest path to getting it into the cloud, if you will. And that for applications where there's still a lot of value to be delivered by adding new features or desire to make them easier to reduce the mean time to restore when they go down, then there's a modernization step that can happen. And that's really where Steeltoe can add a lot of value. As we pull apart those older applications, maybe they're monoliths, and break them into newer microservices maybe we're rewriting those new microservices in .NET Core, for example, or even running them on Linux. So that's kind of how we're seeing this container progression play out.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on what your goals are. If your goals are solely to get off your own hardware and to have an easier deployment story than VMs, then using .NET Framework on containers is a nice first step on that. And it also gets you from kind of moving from a capital expenditure story to an operational expenditure story. And certainly a bunch of customers have talked to us about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, do you guys have any last kind of closing thoughts on either, you know, how you get started with Steeltoe, or a little bit more on the product pitch side on why you should take a look?
Well, I think Dave put it really well earlier. Microservices are hard. And as we get more and more heterogeneous technologies involved, they get even harder when you're talking about polyglot, when you're talking about multiple server operating systems, et cetera. So something like Steeltoe can really help wrangle that beast. If you're interested in getting started, we've got great documentation on our website, steeltoe.io/docs. And they're really like tutorial focused that you can walk right through and leverage the quick starts and teach yourself.
And also, I would add, there's a ton of samples out there. There's a GitHub repo and SteelToeOSS/samples. And we've taken, for example, the Music Store application that has been out there for many years, and we broke it up into a bunch of microservices and wired it all back together using SteelToe. And so there's a sample app that a lot of people are familiar with in this industry, in the .NET industry, and they can make use of that as well. So go take a look at the samples to help you get started.
Awesome. Well, thanks for spending some time to talk with us. Congratulations on getting added to the .NET Foundation.
Thank you.
Sounds really cool. And also on your 2.0 release.
Thanks again.
Okay,
thanks
thank
again.
You. Okay, thanks everyone for taking a look at the on.NET show again and learning about SteelToe and Cloud Foundry and Pivotal. We'll talk to you next time.